For agency managers responsible for cybersecurity, the last few weeks have been challenging. The data breach affecting millions might have been the direct responsibility of the Office of Personnel Management, but the response and the cost has been all of government, starting with the just-concluded 30-day cyber sprint. Cyber is a matter of technology, skill, and people, and for some perspective on what CIOs, CISOs, and other federal agency leaders need to do next, we turn to Alan Paller, the Director of Research at the SANS Institute. Hi there, Alan. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Jared.
And let's start with the news we just mentioned on the results of that cyber sprint. The main data point OMB announced on Friday was that agencies over just the last quarter have gone from having 42% of their users having strong authentication to 72% now. I mean, should we be impressed that they made that much progress in a relatively short time, or worried that more than a quarter of feds are still in username and password mode?
I think both is appropriate. But what's most interesting out of that is how quickly they went that far and the reason they did. And that was the sort of simple truth of what gets watched gets done. And for the last 30 days, that particular metric was being watched. If you come back in a few months, you will see that it has slowed, the change has slowed radically, because OMB will go on to other metrics that they, it's like the lazy Susan, pick your metric of the month, and they'll focus agencies on other things. The agencies will stop doing this one.
Is the other message that it turns out this actually wasn't that hard and could have been done much earlier?
Almost everything in cybersecurity can be done pretty quickly. The general reason that it can't be is a lack of desire on the part of users to change behavior, even if it's easier. And it takes something, a force, an external force like an OMB, to cause users to be quiet and do the new thing and then find out, oh, they can get their work done that way too.
You mentioned that there will be other metrics that agencies will have moved on to a few months down the road. What do you suspect those would be, and what should they be?
Isn't that the right question? That you know what gets watched gets done. So what OMB measures drives agency deputy secretaries, and that drives the CIO. And I think I was trying to get my arms around all these changes and look at it through the eyes of the agency head, not through the IT guy's eyes or the CISO, but from the top. What if I were the successor to Ms. Archuleta at OPM, how would I do cybersecurity right? And I think the answer is gets back to measuring the right things and starting at the top. But I think, in fact, there are five steps that are pretty easy. Each of them is as easy as the change that OMB just brought about. But they would take cybersecurity in a direction much closer to what the most advanced cybersecurity organizations in Silicon Valley and New York do. And I think it's time the federal agencies benchmark themselves against quality instead of against themselves.
Can you take us through maybe what those five most important things are?
Yeah. I let me just give you a summary quick, and then we can go into depth on any of them you'd like to, Jared. One is accountability. Which means putting the responsibility in the right hands, and we have not been doing that. Second one is what you and I have just been talking about, which is measuring the right things, because what you measure gets done. And the third is a little counterintuitive. It's spend less money, spend the money you have smarter, and only then spend more money. I'll go back into that. The fourth one is giving your security staff a chance to modernize their skills. Federal cybersecurity people have been stuck in the 1990s for 20 years, and it makes them not very valuable outside the federal government. It makes them not very valuable inside the federal government. And then the last one is benchmark against the quality that you find in the Silicon Valley firms and the banks where cybersecurity gets the kind of priority that it doesn't get in the federal agencies. But we can go through any of those you want to. But none of them are really hard. They aren't go get another $80 billion and do something big. None of them are that. They're actually small steps, no bigger than what's been done over the last 30 days. But they have to be sustained, and they have to be constantly measured, not measured for 30 days the way OMB did in its sprint.
several of the things you just mentioned, and I think especially the measurement piece, if an agency was going to turn around and start doing that, it strikes me that that's not just the responsibility of an agency head. And I know this is something that you've written about before. It's the IG community, too, that has to be pointed in the right directions and measuring the right things.
Yeah, I think what has been lost over the last 20 years is that the first person to be fired over a major breach, it was at Citibank, was the right person to be fired. And he was the internal auditor, what we call the IG. And the reason is that the IGs are very powerful people, and what they put down on your report card becomes something you can't get away from. And that's what gets measured gets done in writ large, because what the IG measures really gets watched, and what gets watched by your bosses gets done. So because the IG has been consistently measuring the wrong things over the last 15 years, federal agencies are really in deep trouble because they spent so much money counting how many policies they have, not whether they were implemented, counting how many people have been trained on security awareness rather than how many computers can stop an attack. They just over and over again, they measure the things that are easy to measure rather than the things that matter. And there are two things that matter, and they get away from what people really have been focusing on. And this is one of the lessons from both New York and both the banks and Silicon Valley. The first thing you have to measure is things that federal agencies don't like to measure, which is the actual successful attacks, how long it took you to find them, and how long it took you to get fully recovered from them. Those are not measures you'll see any agency doing, but you'll see it all over Silicon Valley. They don't pretend they're not going to get hacked. They know that their first priority is to stop the damage from the attack, not just try to stop everything, because you can't stop everything. If somebody puts enough money into getting in, they're going to get in. But if you can get them out fast, the damage is the same as they're not having gotten in the first place. So number one is the speed of discovery and repair. Number two is hygiene. And hygiene is things like two-factor authentication, but it's also things like patch levels and the level of whitelisting, application whitelisting. The basics of cybersecurity that agencies don't do. But let's go back to accountability, because the guys who you think of as accountable for cybersecurity right now are called the CISOs, the Chief Information Security Officers. You can claim they're responsible all you want, but they have no authority. So there's absolutely no way that they could do anything. With the IGs measuring the wrong things and the CIO not actually focusing on cybersecurity but delegating it to the CISO, we've got all of the responsibility in the wrong place. If you go back to Target, you remember the CEO lost his job over that?
Right.
Well, the first person to lose their job was the right person. It was the CIO. And that also happened in Utah. And it also happened in a lot of smaller jurisdictions, because it's what we've made a mistake on is delegating security to a security person, not knowing that 75% of the work has to be done by IT people, not security people. So what I'm saying is CIO and IG matters first. They're the ones that have to have the responsibility. If they want to get help from a CISO, great. But those are the two who should have the responsibility, because they're the people who can fix it. And if you give it to somebody who can't fix it, you're just whistling in the wind.
Tony Scott on Friday also announced he was putting together a new team of 100 people. I hereby nominate you to serve on that panel, by the way, to take a comprehensive look at federal cybersecurity. And I wonder, how much do you see that as an opportunity for real change along the lines of anything we've just been talking about versus we're going to produce a report that sits on the shelf?
How about if I just stay quiet under the rubric, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Fair enough.
Why don't we go on to the other one? So the counterintuitive one about spending less.
That was going to be the one I pulled out. So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of it. But Jared, what has been happening over the last 20 years is layered security. So when something happens, all the security vendors, either the system integrators or the software and hardware guys from the security industry come roaring into the CISO's office and into the CIO's office saying, you just saw that attack. We have a new tool that can stop that attack. It might stop data leakage, or it might put a new email into a sandbox and analyze it before it gets opened. All that kind of stuff. You need that. And agencies trying to respond reasonably to this actually see that they need something like that, and they go to their bosses and they say, we need more money, and they get the money and they buy the new thing. Or they set up a NOC and they spend $15 million or $20 million a year watching everything because everybody, I didn't mean NOC, I meant a SOC, a Security Operations Center, because everybody says you need a SOC. None of those are wrong statements, but they are layered security, and it's in the layers that the wrong things are being done. So we have layers down there that we're spending between 10 and 40% of our budget on that have no impact on making us safer, on finding the bad guys fast and getting them out fast, on making sure that we can't be hacked more. They're just in there. They've been in there since 2003. Some five contractors are getting paid $15 or $20 million a year to do something with them. They have no effect on security because the other layers have basically made them irrelevant, or they are three times as expensive as what's available now to do the same thing. So perhaps the most exciting thing going on in federal computer security is one of the agencies, I'm not going to mention which one because they should announce it themselves, mm-hmm. has just had top management, I don't mean some lower level, not way down at the CIO level, but way up in the organization, has just decided that they're going to do zero-based budgeting on cybersecurity for the next 12 months, and they're spending much more than $100 million a year on cybersecurity. So when you go do zero-based budgeting, you're going to go back and find out which of those layers are actually doing you some good and which ones are costing three times as much as they should. And that's going to be an eye-opener. That's actually very exciting.
Speaking of spending, this is not really related to the things you've just been talking about, but one of the things that's confusing to me about the response to the data breach is, you know, even though we're still waiting to find out how OPM is going to handle identity protection, et cetera, for the 21.5 million people who were victims here, if we accept the premise that the people who stole the data was a foreign intelligence service, they're probably going to do bad things with that data, but taking out a credit card in my name probably isn't one of them. Does it make sense to be spending potentially $100 million plus on identity protection services in that case versus other priorities? Because we know it's coming out of existing agency budgets.
It's like washing the car when your engine is having trouble.
Right.
You think you're doing something useful, but it has nothing to do with what the problem is. And that's you're exactly right. This data, the value of this data is long-term creation of spear phishing attacks that are so effective because they know, and it doesn't have to be spear phishing, it can be use of your credentials and at your bank and things like that, but it use of too much knowledge about you to craft attacks, and there is no answer to what can be done about it. I'm not at all saying people ought to worry about it, but it is the real problem. It's the credit stuff is not a problem at all.
On a related note, and this is the last thing before I let you go, U.S. CERT put out a new alert on Saturday saying they're watching at least three phishing campaigns right now against federal agencies and other organizations. The reason that caught my eye is that I think those alerts are usually for things like, you know, here's a new vulnerability in Firefox or whatever, make sure you do your patches. Does this tell us there's something really serious going on right now beyond the background noise of phishing that's going on every day?
Yeah, I think it tells you that the OPM attack awakened government to how broad their vulnerabilities are and that phishing is the way people get in. They get in because phishing works because they don't have whitelisting enabled, but as long as they're not going to enable whitelisting, phishing is going to work, and then they have to find it fast and get it out. So where I'm going is all that says is that the agencies are not monitoring the right thing. The wrong people are accountable. They're spending money in layers that they don't need to, and they're not giving their staff the skills that they need to find the bad stuff. So all it does is it says they've awakened to how the attacks get done, rather than just there's a vulnerability. The attacks get done through spear phishing or drive-by attacks. That's 93 to 98% of all the really bad attacks start that way.
Alan Paller, the Director of Research at the SANS Institute. Always appreciate talking to you, Alan.
Thank you.